following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Good morning, Refuge. Pastor Shadi here. It is good to be with you for another Refuge Daily. It is my pleasure to open up the Word of God with you. And today we are going to be in 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3 is a passage I'm certain you are familiar with. It is, I'm sure, one of your favorite passages, as it is one of my favorite passages. It is the chapter where King Solomon, this young king, gets to ask the Lord for wisdom. And I have been asking the Lord for wisdom quite a bit. And this is one of those passages that I've been studying, and I'd like to share it with you. So 1 Kings chapter 3, we'll just jump in. We'll start in verse 4. The king, which is Solomon, went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices for what was the most important high place. And Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on the altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream. How cool is that? And God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Right? This doesn't happen often in scripture, right? Where God just shows up. And, you know, we always talk about how God is not a genie. God has a will. God has a plan. God has a purpose for your life. And he leads us. It's important to ask. It's important to talk to him. But really, he has the final say, not us, right? It's not name it and claim it or blab it and grab it, right? God has the final say. But in this situation, he comes to Solomon, this young man who has now been thrust into the spotlight. His dad, arguably the greatest, I don't even know how much of an argument it is, but really the greatest king Israel has ever seen, next to Jesus, of course, right? And now the king, David, is gone. He has died, And all of a sudden now, Solomon has been raised up into this position, and God shows up one night in a dream after Solomon has been burning sacrifices and no doubt crying out to the Lord. And the Lord says, "Ask. What do you want? Whatever it is that you want, you got it. If that was you, what would you ask for? If that was me, what would I be asking for?" Let's just move on. Anyways, because it's not good. Anyways, okay, verse 6. Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son," speaking of himself, right, "to sit on his throne this very day." Okay. Here's the ask. "Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant," you know, King Solomon, "king in place of my father David. But I am only a little child." Listen to the humility here, right? Most kings are like, "Yep, I'm the king now. You got to listen to what I say." He's like, I'm just a little kid, right? I've got nothing to contribute. I've got nothing to offer. I'm just a little child, and I don't even know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people that you have chosen. All these people, a great people, too numerous to count or number. Here's what I want, Lord. Right? I get to ask for anything. This is what I want. Give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? Lord, I need wisdom. I need wisdom. I don't know what I'm doing. I need help. I need you to bless me with wisdom so I could serve, right? He's not asking to get rich. He's not asking to have his enemies taken out, right? It's not about giving himself a better and more comfortable life. It's about, Lord, I want to serve you and I want to serve your people. And the only way I see how to do that is if you give me some wisdom, right? Do you think that's going to please the Lord? Oh, yeah, right? Look at verse 10. The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. Not like the Lord was surprised, right? But the Lord was pleased. Oh, man, my boy, he did it. So God said to him, since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administrating justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for. Woohoo! Right? Both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime, you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands as David your father did, I will give you a long life. Then Solomon awoke from the greatest dream he had ever had, right? So Solomon awoke and then he realized it had been a dream. What did he do then? He returned to Jerusalem. He stood before the ark of the Lord's covenant and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. Then he gave a feast for all his court. I love that he believed that this was real, or that this was real, right? Sometimes we wake up and it's like, oh, did I just have that dream? Was that real? Was God speaking to me, or was it bad hummus or something, right? This wasn't a case of bad hummus. This was God speaking to him. He heard him. He received it, and he worshiped because of it. Now, one of my favorite passages. Like, this is so great. Here's why. He doesn't ask for wisdom. Okay? He does, but he doesn't. If we take the literal translation, what Solomon is asking for, he's saying, give your servant a hearing heart, right? He's not asking for wisdom up here so much as he's asking it for here. He's saying, I want a hearing heart. I want to hear your voice. That will give wisdom up here, and that will make him the rock star that he turns out to be, right? Immediately after this passage, we see how, you know, those two prostitutes come up to him and they're fighting over the baby, right? So the fact that he can hear God speak, right, opens the door to all kinds of possibilities, because the wisdom of God here resonating in his heart, it affects everything going on here and around him. And it's just amazing. And I love that idea of, Lord, give me a hearing heart. Lord, give me just the ability to hear your voice through all the noise, right? Past what my eyes see. Yeah, I think of Samuel. And now Samuel, when he was choosing David to be king, right? He's going through and it's like one brother after another, the buff one, the good looking one, whatever, right? And it's like, oh, surely this is the guy. Surely this is the guy. And it was like God spoke right in his ear, that still small voice saying, I've rejected all of these. And Samuel was like, sorry, none of these guys. Is there another one? Is there another brother? And then it was like, oh, let's get David from the field. I want that. I know that you want that as well. And I believe that this is something that we are going to pursue our whole lives. Our whole lives are going to be dedicated to the pursuit of hearing God speak and applying it to the lives, to our lives and the lives of the people around us. So I'm already running late. So three quick points on how to get this hearing heart. How do we get wisdom? Number one, by asking. James 1:5, right? It is a powerful, powerful verse. It is a promise. It is a promise. If any of you lacks wisdom, right? Okay, Shadi and anybody else lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, right? Ask and it will be given to you. So what's the first step in asking wisdom, right? Realizing that, hey, we need wisdom. Realizing that hey, I'm just a little kid here. I don't have the knowledge, the experience. I don't really know what I'm doing. And I need you, Lord, to come in and intervene. And Lord, what I need is to hear your voice. Number two, pray for wisdom. Sounds an awful lot like number one, right? Number one is asking, right? So we ask and ask, and that's praying. See, I got my notes all mixed up. But see, the wisdom is still coming. So let's keep going. Number two is actually walking closely with the Lord. Verse seven, Proverbs chapter 1:7 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So what is the beginning of wisdom? The fear of the Lord. Now, this isn't like you're afraid that God is up there going to throw lightning bolts at you whenever you mess up. No, this is the fear of the Lord. Like we fear our mom, or we fear our dad. Like we fear hurting them. They love us so much, and we don't want to hurt them. And it's that kind of thing. This speaks of intimacy. This speaks of a nearness. And that makes sense. If you want to hear God speak, if you and I want to hear God speak, then we have to be close to Him. So close that, you know, we don't want to upset. We don't want to offend. We don't want to grieve the Spirit, right? So that's number two. Number one is by asking or praying fervently. Number two is by walking in nearness with the Lord and fearing the Lord. And number three, good one, marinating in God's word, right? Your Bible is the best way to hear God speak to you, right? And you and I, we're on this pursuit, and we have to love the Word of God, right? The Word of God says, taste and see that God is good, right? We have to value God's Word above anything else in our lives. And Proverbs 16:16 says it like this: how much better to get wisdom than gold, to get insight rather than silver. Right? This whole world is chasing after money, gold, silver. We could throw Bitcoin in there as well right now, right? We're seeking these things, and that's fine. We need gold. We need silver, maybe even a Bitcoin or two, right? But that is not better than wisdom. That is not better than the Word of God, right? The Word of God is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, right? It is what opens our eyes up. It is what gives us wisdom. It's what guides us and tells us what to do. And how much better is that than anything this world has to offer? And I'm going to leave you with this. What does wisdom look like? So when wisdom does come and you are, the Lord is here and you are listening to His voice and you are applying it, here's what it looks like. James 3:17, but the wisdom that comes from heaven, right? Not the world, from heaven, is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. That's my life that I want. And that's the life I want for you. And I know that's what you want as well. And I thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness and your goodness and for giving us wisdom, Lord, simply by asking and reading and walking in nearness with you, Lord. We love you. And we pray, Father, that we would display these qualities of wisdom, Lord. In Jesus' name, I heard you. I heard you. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful day, and I'll be back soon. Bye-bye.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart. Set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door that holds me in. was the day that life